Hey gang, Duvall here with an all-new announcement from our good sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys. The 4th anniversary sale marches on. Right now, you can spend $10 to $39 and you get $4 off your purchase. Spend $40 to $79 and get $8 off. Spend $80 to $119 and get $12 off. $120 to $115, $16 off your purchase. $160 to $199, you get $20 off your purchase, as well as a manual domestic upgrade for parcel post priority. And spending $200 and up, you get $24 off your purchase, as well as free domestic shipping. Note, only applies to parcel post and UPS ground option. And the sale continues until September 2nd, 2012 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, for the in-stock goodies that have just arrived, the rest of the Comic-Con goodies are at the Crazy King's Castle. Representing the world of Masters of the Universe classics, Roger Sweet's original concept creation that gave birth to He-Man we all know and love, Vicron in Space Ace and Tank Top Packouts. Representing the world of DC Comics, the Teen Titans Tiny Titans set and the Polly Pockets villain set featuring Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and Catwoman. And representing Gozer worshippers everywhere, the Ghostbusters gatekeeper Zool. And make sure to check out the site, as coming soon is the Masters of the Universe Classics 30th Anniversary Series Sir Laserlock, created by Geoff Johns, and DC Universe Classics Mirror Master Legendary Adversary of the Flash. And yes, the Crazy Kings will be continuing to carry the Club Eternia sub, as well as the Club Infinite Earth sub for your enhanced shopping experience. And also this year, they'll be carrying the Club Black Freighter sub, so all you Watchmen fans out there can get a piece of the action. Don't forget to sign up for their newsletter and receive a coupon code for 10% off an upcoming purchase. So make sure you stop by www.crazykingsoftoys.com and find out why they're so crazy.
Hey guys, Chris Vent here, one of the four co-hosts on What the Shell, the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast. Myself, Dylan Cook, Sween Halleck, and Mike Lacey, we all sit down and talk about things pertaining to the Turtles, whether it's interviews with Townsend Coleman, whether it's movie commentaries to do with the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, whether it's talking about Michael Bay and the Ninja Turtles. It's all fun and games there, so why not head over to whattheshell.podbean.com, or you could search for What the Shell on iTunes as well. Leave us a review, we'd love to see any reviews. And anything you want us to talk about pertaining to TMNT, send us an email at vinto316@gmail.com. And yeah, check out the monthly podcast. And all I have to say is, Cowabunga, dudes!
The Toy Bar is open for another week of Toy Talk. So pull up a stool, grab a drink, and listen to Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys. And now, here are your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. I scared the hell out of Dave.
Woke me up.
Brought to you every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Check them out. Welcome to the Toy Bar, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Duvall.
How comes you got a band today,
on your arm? Oh, I was at the doctors.
Did you get a shot?
No, they took blood.
Why did you let them take your blood?
Yeah, they tested to see what
Don't let the man take your blood.
It's to make sure that the knee thing doesn't happen again.
Oh, your gout?
My gout. They got to check to make sure. Well, that commercial where the guy's walking around with a cute little thing full of attractive liquid?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that stuff is in your blood.
Mm, yes.
And when it gets cold, it turns into, like, razor-sharp fragments. Usually in your joints.
Yes. I had something like that.
Did you?
Once. Called a kidney stone. Passed out my pee hole.
It's kind of like that. It's
extremely painful.
Except it's in every joint in your body.
Oh.
It's awesome.
pretty scary.
So yeah, and I also like my mother always had towards the end had these awful problems getting blood drawn, like just epic nightmarish, and of course now all of a sudden like I never had any problems, and now all of a sudden it took them like three times. Like this isn't even the one they took the blood from.
It's the curse of the Christmas Nazi,
and it's like it's
coming
like,
to haunt you.
Oh, God, I'm just not looking forward. I mean, I'm glad I only get it drawn once a year. So
fair enough. I don't let the man take my blood. That's my blood.
That's how they keep track. That's how they keep track. I know I'm using it at the time, but that's how they keep... It's how they keep track of whether or not the medication is doing its job. And, you know, I went...
Couldn't you just pee in a cup and they could find it out that way? No?
No. No, because it's that's all ururic acid.
Because they can I'll let them have my pee. Here's my pee. Take my pee. Thanks.
No, and you know, I mean, considering it went from like literally being crippled maybe half a month every month to being relatively human and normal for about 3 or 4 years.
Neat.
A little bit of blood. Not a big price to pay.
So you're kind of like the not so bionic man.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was really, it was seriously, when I got the medication, it was miraculous.
How much are your doctor's bills?
They're actually, the actual doctor's bill isn't that bad, although it like doubled between last year and this year.
So what are you, like the $3,000 man?
No.
Oh.
No. Because I pay cash.
Oh.
But you get a break.
Fair enough. True.
But it did double. Like, so thank you, Obama. Mm. But when I get the medical testing bill, that comes in the mail in a couple of weeks. That's going to be like crap.
Fun times.
That'll be about $200.
Wow.
Well, I mean, this has just been the month of, like, last month was the month of irrational spending.
Yes.
Because it started with JoeCon.
Yeah.
And then we had Comic-Con. And
yeah.
Just all sorts of goodies started showing up at toy stores because the dam is broken. We're segueing into that back to school refit, or what the hell do they call it?
Reset.
Reset. Wow.
They're resetting all the aisles.
My blood is drained. I can't think straight. But stuff is actually showing up in stores. So
it's the one time I can actually say you need a cookie.
I know. But point being, like, so this month is the month of like all the huge, unfortunately necessary spending, like the doctor bill. My insurance was due, and there was a whole schmear about that.
Yep.
I got my real estate taxes due. I got my regular taxes due.
Nice.
Isn't it? Yeah. And then, of course, next month we're going to a toy show in Columbus.
It's the plan.
That's the plan.
That should be fun.
I'm actually apparently going to see most of Ohio during that weekend.
Apparently.
But whatever. And we're going to do the end. But the good news is that we will do the toy store that I know you were looking forward to.
Yeah, I'd like to go there, yeah.
Well, apparently.
It'll be good, apparently
it's on my way.
Apparently.
Instead of being out of the way, it's now become on the way. So.
That's your beautiful girlfriend.
Yeah, well.
The love of your life.
I do love her.
Causing you all this pain.
I'm sure Carrie puts up with a lot from you, so let's.
She puts up with a fair amount.
So.
She put up with me. There was a board game auction last night
in
Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh my god!
It was an online auction, and there were only two things in there that I had my eye on.
All right,
a lot of them were like, it was all TSR stuff. But wait,
board games like Dungeon.
Dungeon was on there. I didn't tell you because the pre-bid, like I can see the bids on proxy bids.
Pre-bid
you can see, and that's what they'll start out at or go up to. If somebody else bids on it, they'll go up to that amount. The Dungeon game was already at $120.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they have Dark Tower?
No.
Ah.
But they had a bunch of old Dungeons & Dragons stuff, and that stuff was super expensive.
Really?
So when Carrie and I first looked at it, she was like, you should tell Dave about it.
That's crazy.
But this was like 2 months ago, and even then they were super high.
You mean like modules and stuff and books?
Yeah, some of them.
Really?
Yeah, but they were like...
How do you get those cheap on eBay?
Yeah, they were like...
And that's on eBay. You can get them cheap. I remember the last King County that we went to, there was a guy with a box.
And yeah, and like, you just dug through.
Offer me a buck.
Yeah.
And some guy beat me to it, but I mean, I still got some scraps.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like, there were two games on there. One was the Ghostbusters role-playing game.
Oh, sweet. Which I already have.
Yeah, but. Which never been used. And I was like, cool, you know, I'll watch that. And the other one was an ElfQuest board game.
Oh, I know that one.
I know of it. Yes. Well, I won the ElfQuest board game.
Oh, sweet.
I wasn't going to spend more than $20 on it. And I spent $20 on it.
All right.
So I thought that was a fair price.
That can't possibly include shipping from Alaska.
No, but they ship basic postal rates, so it's not going to cost me more than $9. They're just going to throw it in a box and ship it. They're not shipping it any fancy way.
Well, you can get media rate for that, frankly.
That's what they're shipping it at, basically. Yeah. But the Ghostbusters thing, I was like, I don't really want to spend over $20, and it got up to like...
Oh, but it's so cool.
I know, but
it's got so much extraneous, like... information.
It got up to like $22 and $23. And I was like, I'm done.
The contracts.
I know.
And the,
I was like, I'm done.
Dude, that's super cool.
It would have been nice to have, but I'm okay with it. I'm like, I got the ElfQuest one was the one that I really wanted.
Yeah, that's probably the rare one.
Because I love that comic. I love the one series of figures they brought out. And that was always been like one of my favorite comics. It was that series from Warp Graphics. So to have that board game is kind of neat because I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that in the wild anywhere.
That's cool.
So yeah, but they had a bunch of old like bookshelf board games, like the book edition ones, like from the late mid 70s.
Hmm.
It was like, I can't think of any of the names now. There were some ridiculous games though. It was like one was like. A game where you basically invested your money in the stock market and
wow.
Yeah, it was the 70s, so you're like, wow, they were really stretching for some games, weren't they? That was kind of fun though. I spent like 2 hours just kind of watching it, waiting for the two lots to come up and watching the other stuff as it sold. I'm like, some of the stuff's going for, you know, some of the board games were going for next to nothing, but I had no interest in them. But some of them I was like, HeroQuest was on there.
Okay.
HeroQuest was a board game that came out in the 90s.
It's one of those that, like, there's so many different games that have variations of that name that I'm drawing a blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got it. I've actually got the board
game. Is that the one with, like, the little figures?
Yes,
okay, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
That was on there, never used. And that thing went for, like, $300.
Doesn't surprise me.
I was like, man, I'm glad I own a copy of that game, even though I played the shit out of it. I'm glad I own it. Because I'm like, if I wanted it now, there'd be...
And it had, like, catapults or ballistas that launched and...
No, you're thinking... No, no, not HeroQuest. You're thinking of crossbows and catapults.
Maybe, yeah.
You're thinking of that. That one had launching stuff.
Yeah.
HeroQuest was... It had all the little figurine... Well, here, hold on. Look. Let me just do this.
Don't step on the...
No, I'm not going to step on the doll. Let me just walk over here.
Oh, no.
Let me open this.
Oh, it's in there.
HeroQuest.
Ah. No hit eye.
HeroQuest was actually done by Milton Bradley.
Okay.
And I believe it was... I want to say it was the 90s. Now, my box and my game, like I said...
It looks 90s.
We've played the shit out of this game, and I think all of my sheets are written in pencil for the most part, so I could erase them if I wanted. But it is... Well, yeah, 90. Because the quest packs were available in 91. But it was like all these miniatures, and you had the tiles, and you had all these little like pieces that you could put.
I mean, that's neat. On the board. That is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's a great.
Like you could use that like just to play Dungeons and Dragons, like to use that for the miniatures and the...
Yeah, technically, yeah. We should play this someday because you and I'd have a lot of fun because this game, I played the shit out of this game. Like I could never, ever, ever get into Dungeons and Dragons. Never do it. It just. Not that I wasn't imaginative or creative enough, just could never, like, get into the whole idea of it.
Neat.
Yeah, the board's neat. But when this game came out, one of my friends had bought it, and I remember him playing it, and I loved it. Like, we played the crap out of it, and I was like, I've got to have this game. I've got to go buy one, and I went and bought one. And it's really cool. I mean, like, the quest book is, like, it shows you where to put up all the... Where the villains are and where to set up everything. It's really... I mean, it has shades of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a... It is. But, I mean, ironically, Dungeons & Dragons started as a tabletop wargaming kind of thing. Kind of like, you know...
Cause
exactly like that, but kind of like that with miniatures
even,
and...
Yeah, because it even has the...
Dungeon Master screen.
kind of the Dungeon Master screen. Very, very cool game. It's a game that I have not played in a long, long time.
Yeah, it looks neat.
It's one of those games that I kept and has traveled with me from house to house, apartment as I've moved. And it's probably one of the cooler games I have up there. I mean, you can turn around and look up there, and you can attest that the board game closet is just chock full of like these amazing like vintage classic games that I keep finding and buying everywhere. So. Yeah, it's a really, really good game, though. It's one of those games that's just like, oh, dude, I loved that game. That and Atmosphere. Atmosphere was a VCR game. They eventually redid in DVD a few years back. Sween Halleck took a look at it a long time ago, back when we were all at PCN. He did an episode of That New Toy Smell on it.
Hmm.
And that's a cool game, too. That's a spectacular. That's a scare. That they used to scare the shit out of us when we played that game. And it was a lot of fun. But yeah, that's one of those board games that, but that game, like $300, I was like, oh my God, I'm glad I own that. Because it's, people want it. Like, really? Oh, I know. Bad.
I've looked up Dark Tower on eBay, and that usually goes for like $200-$300 if it's complete.
Yeah. Just ridiculous, ridiculous amounts of money. And understandable. A lot of these board games are...
Well, yeah, they have like a lot of small pieces and a lot of this and a lot of that. And there is like the nostalgia factor.
Exactly. Very, very big nostalgia factor. Have you... I know that you you talked last week, you know, about how last month was the month of crazy spending.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the stuff. They Hot Toys finally showed off Incredible Hulk for the Avengers, finishing off the Avengers line.
Okay, because sometimes I get like the pre-taping and the actual taping conversations confused. Right. So I didn't tell you to go fuck yourself before we started recording?
You did, yes, you did.
Okay.
So you don't have to tell me that again.
Because,
I mean, he's cool.
It's super cool.
16.5 inches, so...
Yep.
It's got a newly developed head sculpt with separate rolling eyeballs, so it's got the Pierce...
Yeah, it's got the Pierce system.
Yeah, it's got the Pierce system in it. Movie-accurate facial expression, giant green skin muscular body featuring detailed skin texture and tendons with 20 points of articulation and built-in joints in the neck and arms, which allow for flexible movement. That's a first for Hot Toys. They've never... I don't think they've done something like that. And if they have, I don't remember it, so I could be wrong. But it's cool. I'm kind of sad that he only has 20 points of articulation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because he doesn't have a lot of clothes to hide the joints.
Right, right. And he comes with two pairs of hands.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's
it. But it's the Hulk. What more do you need?
It's gorgeous.
Unless they came with, like, unless there was a head for Bruce Banner and you could just go buy a Hot Toys body and put the Bruce Banner head on, that would be even better.
That would be sweet.
But this figure looks, man, I wish, wow.
Hmm?
It's very cool looking. I mean, we had seen teasers
It
before and I was like, oh, that's going to be really cool. And then they finally showed it off and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus.
The thing is, I mean, everyone keeps making out like suddenly I'm Mr. Hot Toys, and the thing is,
but yeah, know,
those
not.
Two things were very unique,
yes.
And they're items that were not. I mean, I've got Hulk toys. I've got 12 inch. I've got 16 inch. You know, the Rotocast Hulk from the first movie.
Yeah,
you know, I've got. I mean, I've even got Hulk toys from the Avengers more than I know what to do with because I've got the Walmart one and the Marvel Select one.
Yep.
And then I've got the really crappy little Hasbro one.
Yes.
But so, like, in terms of, like, meeting my Hulk needs, I'm pretty good. In fact, I'm an idiot. The new wave of Marvel Universe actually popped up at our Meijer, and they've got a newly sculpt, a new Hulk resculpt, which, of course, like an idiot, even though I totally don't need it, I bought. So,
right.
I'm good on Hulk. I have my Hulk needs met.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not like that Joker where there was, you know, I mean, there was some Kenner stuff back in the day, but there was nothing like that.
No, no.
And the Keaton
no,
Batman. God, there was just really nothing like that. And I know that they're doing the Adam West stuff
for
Movie Masters.
Yep.
But, like, you know, and I'm sure sooner or later they'll get to the Burton movies, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, for right now, I'm happy with the choices I made. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, they were good choices. I mean, they're,
but
I'm
also, you know, I mean, Bossk and the Baroness are coming up from Sideshow.
Right.
And then I may give the old 12-inch scale a little bit of a rest for a while.
Let it
sit there, sit fallow.
Yes, let sleeping dogs lay.
Yeah.
The other thing
I'm good. Yeah, oh, well, yeah, of course. The other reason that I'm not going to get a Hulk...
was that you signed up for the G.I. Joe Club subscription.
Yes,
figures.
I did.
Which I don't blame you because
some of them are about a third of them are super cool. And one of the things they said at the convention is if you don't like one, you know, if there's a couple that you don't like, just sell them online, make a cross back.
Exactly.
So yeah,
I noticed some retailers have them listed at
$40 or $50 a pop.
Yeah,
$40 or $50 And Big Bad is already sold out of a couple.
That's
they're sold out of Big Boa and they're sold out of CoverGirl.
Yeah,
because those are the two vintage figures they have. Jinx is like a weird non-vintage costume, which we actually at the time they hadn't announced the Comic-Con exclusive, and we were kind of like, why are they doing this weird version of Jinx?
Yeah.
And yes, the picture you have on screen is the Iron Claw.
From G.I. Joe Extreme.
From G.I. Joe Extreme, but there was going to be a comic pack, which got canceled, which would have had him and, like, a Crimson Guard commander.
That would have been cool.
So they're basically using that mold. But, like, yeah, I mean, and I've said before, I love, you know, to me it's kind of like what they're doing with Masters Classics. I love including characters. I would love for a Sergeant Savage figure, you know, yes. in that line, yeah. in that scale. You know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, but you had to, though.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know.
I mean, you didn't have to, but I didn't have you had to.
I mean, even though it's, like, in, even though it seems expensive at the time, like, to try to pick them up, any, the fan club stuff, you pick it up on the secondary market, and it's murder.
Right.
It's absolutely murder. So it's just easier to do it up front.
Yeah. I agree.
We got some new
Yeah, Mattel stuff from- Mattel finally announced the DC Unlimited and the Batman Unlimited figures. So the DC Unlimited figures has 52 versions of...
I kind of like the Wonder Woman.
Hawkman, Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Injustice Batman in Series 2. I'm just not keen on the whole the new 52 stuff.
Yeah, I don't like the designs.
Not, meh.
Well, they're already some of them are already out because I just got Red Robin and Superboy Prime.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
yeah. That Wonder Woman's cool.
I like that Wonder Woman.
And then
and then, of course, yeah, the Batman one. I've got the Penguin on pre-order.
The Penguin's the one I need.
Yeah,
that's the one I'm gonna have to find because
that's the one that anybody wants. Nobody I know. Wants another Batman.
The Batgirl's all right.
Batgirl's all right, but I mean, she didn't really sell well with Batman Legacy. And then
Series 2 is the one people are going to go nuts for.
It's going to be interesting because we've got... Because
it's Planet X Batman with Batmite, which people have been wanting Planet X Batman since that Batmite came out in...
Well, and it's weird because it's not... Because it has Batmite, it's not really Planet X Batman. It's Batman R.I.P., the Batman of Zur-En-Arr
right,
Batman.
Right,
right. Which it's the same. That was Grant Morrison's take on that story,
correct?
And he incorporated it into modern post-crisis continuity,
yeah.
Where before it was like this wacky alien planet with a different Batman. Although they used that on, they did have Batman Zur-En-Arr on Batman Brave and the Bold, but you can just tell because his outfit's all tattered, and that's
yes.
Batman gets his mind and his spirit broken by Dr. Hurt, and like. Being Batman, of course, he's literally got like a... He's trained himself, so he's got like a backup personality that well, kicks in, which is the Batman of Zur-En-Arrn.
Weird.
And he creates that weird costume out of what stuff he can find. And like he imagines Batmite... Well, it's never really been answered. It sort of implied that maybe Batmite is this alien thing that's sort of following him around, egging him on. But he's followed around by Batmite.
Right.
And then he has the big final confrontation with the Joker at Arkham Asylum and the club of... The Black Hand Society. It's a good storyline. It's a really cool storyline.
Really?
Yeah, even though that looks a little wacky.
Yeah, it's a little weird looking. But,
well, because it's based on... It's a tribute to a Silver Age thing. So
right,
it's
right, right.
wacky. And then, yeah. of course, the big... The literally.
The Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns.
Frank Miller. Designed Batman that's using a Masters of the Universe body.
Uh-huh.
Which is friggin' awesome.
Which is cool, because that's...
And it fits it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Because I've got the DC Direct one,
yeah,
which is a little clunky. I mean the because the it's an older sculpt, so it's kind of it's got articulation, but it's sculpted in a pose.
Yeah,
which is always a pain.
Yeah,
in the
it's always a pain.
But yeah, that's really cool.
I'm excited for that. That might actually be one I pick up because
see, I think that's the one that people are going to go after. Is
yeah,
that the Dark Knight Batman? A because it's Dark Knight. I think B, I'm sure some of the He-Man people are just going to want it because it's.
Oh, no, Batman, absolutely. He-Man. The He-Man people have already been like, you know, people
yeah,
have already asked, tweeted the Four Horsemen, is that a Master's body that he's on? And yes, it is a Master's body yeah. that they are on, which is, again, awesome.
Some of people were buying the Twitch from Toy Story because it was just kind of like a Master's character.
Yes, I have one.
So, yeah.
Very cool stuff. And then the big news, I think, is awesome, is that they announced toy designer David Bonner, a good friend of mine,
yes.
I've known for a number of years.
Yeah.
Worked for Hasbro. He was one of the heads of the Marvel Universe line there.
Yeah,
he was the driving force behind getting some of those amazing characters in that line that we would have never seen in toy form, like the Wrecking Crew and
yeah.
all of those types of figures. It was the brainchild of Vonner. And of course, he was unfortunately released from Hasbro earlier this year. Well, it just came down that he is headed towards Jazzwares.
Yeah.
Thank God. Because my issue with Jazzwares is, and I know this because there was another, well, he was a customizer that worked for them, and he was working for them for the number of years. We met him at Toy Fair when the A-Team stuff came out a number of years ago. And I know that eventually he just left them because they just did not care about the product they were putting out. Because if you go back and you look at their Sonic stuff, look at some of their more, pretty much all their Mortal Kombat stuff, even the Hanna-Barbera stuff that's now hitting, it's not that great. Like, I know the Mortal Kombat stuff, people are just think it's horrible.
I know that we've done a couple reviews of it on the site, and they haven't exactly been raised.
No. So. I know the Sonic figures either break or really fragile because they're that thin plastic. But they're just like throwing... It seems like they just don't care about the product they're putting out as much as they're like, well, we got these awesome licenses. Let's just throw something out there. Somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
Hopefully Vonner can go in and go, let's make... You know, hopefully he can turn Jazzwares into a good competitor again for the toy market. Because the Hanna-Barbera figures that are out are awesome. Like, I don't know how those escaped under everyone's radar.
I saw some of them the other day, and
the three inch ones.
I've seen you guys tweet about like a Hong Kong Fooey.
There's a 6-inch line too. There's 3-inch and a 6-inch line.
So I want that Hong Kong Fooey.
Yeah,
but the number one super guy.
The problem is like the 6-inch line, like the Huckleberry Hound they made comes with this straw hat that he always used to wear.
Yeah,
but instead of molding him in such a way that you could just put the hat on his head, the top of his head has this line all the way around it. And the top of his head pops off, and then you pop the hat on.
Oh, well.
Which is kind of clunky.
Yeah.
I've heard that from people that have bought them, the articulation is not good. Like, some of them are top-heavy, and they fall over, and there's a Space Ghost that's out. And
I got my Space Ghost needs met.
Yeah, so... but, I you know, that aside, Jazzwares is putting out some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's just their, you know... Their product could be much better.
What did we get? We got Dino, we got Fred.
Dino, Fred, Rosie are the 3-inch line that I've seen. Those are the only ones that I've seen the 3-inch line.
Yeah.
And it looks like the 6-inch is Huckleberry Hound, Hong Kong Fooey, and Space Ghost.
Cool.
Although they have logos on the back of those packages for a ton of other Hanna-Barbera properties. So here's hoping we'll get like maybe a Scooby-Doo or something like that.
Scooby-Doo seems to be locked up with some other company though, because there's a lot of Scooby-Doo product out there.
That could be.
Maybe they finally lost the license, but it's in a different section of Toys R Us.
Well, it's in the preschool section. Yeah.
But, I mean, they've had figures.
But David he's an amazing, amazing senior designer.
Yeah.
And he really hit the ball out of the park with Marvel Universe, I think, honestly. I mean, Marvel Universe is one of the coolest lines, especially in that period of time when we didn't have Marvel Legends at all.
Yeah.
And we had Marvel Universe. And I know you bought the shit out of Marvel Universe figures.
I have. Well, because it's Marvel characters that are compatible with my G.I. Joe.
And your Star Wars, exactly.
My Star Wars. Although at this point, I mean, it really did sort of... Because when they were originally displayed, they were mostly displayed with like my G.I. Joes.
Right.
And now they've got their own space.
Exactly.
So it kind of exploded.
Yeah. Well, some of them are still on the flag.
Well, Captain America. There's like a little group of Avengers because it's a little thing. Because
I think isn't the Shield and some of the Avengers on the flag?
Yeah. Especially since the Helicarrier is such poo.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it was originally like the Helicarrier substitute. Now it's the Helicarrier Superior.
Yeah, now it's like it's the Superior vehicle. So there's some cool news. I'm happy for Vonner. I'm happy. I'm glad that he's heading. It looks like he's heading to Florida.
Oh, wow.
It's nice. Sunny Florida for Jazzwares. Nice. So, yeah. So, here's hoping that I can hear from Bonner real soon. Great guy, though. amazing, amazing guy. Yeah, man. I was really excited to hear that. And I'm like, thank God. Bonner's got another job. This is awesome. There's toys sitting on the table in front of us.
There are toys sitting on the table.
We've kind of... The last few weeks, the show has been... a little bit of a downer. We've kind of been some Debbie Downers on the show.
Well, that's because we've been talking about He-Man.
True. And a number of other things. I mean, our experience with...
the auction.
Yeah. But, you know. So, I decided I'm going to bring some toys upstairs. And let's have a little conversation about two lines.
Yeah, a line that I never collected and have no real attachment to. Although, I will say... Honestly, like when I first saw him, I did pick out one little guy and went, "Ooh, he's neat."
Yeah, I brought up a bunch of my GoBots and Rock Lords.
Yeah,
just because these are two lines that people shit. Well, they don't really shit over Rock Lords. They kind of do.
That's because they don't even care about Rock Lords.
People shit all over GoBots.
It's because they're a knockoff of Transformers.
Well, the funny thing is they're not.
They're a knockoff.
They're not.
their total knockoff.
They beat Transformers to the U.S. marketplace by 2 months, 3 months.
Probably cheated.
And they were out in Japan.
Shenanigans.
The problem is people always say, oh, they're the poor man's Transformer.
Dude, they kind of are.
Oh, I agree. Bandai made
just because the Transformer stuff was bigger as a general rule, and they were like had so much more stuff.
Here's the thing, though. I literally could take this Psykill and throw it at you and not have to worry about it breaking. But you couldn't take an Optimus Prime and throw it at somebody because it would smash into a million pieces.
Oh, yeah.
That was the cool thing about these.
Well, they're Tonka. That's Tonka's bread and butter.
Right.
Is
that they're everything on the GoBots is, I mean, almost everything on most of these figures is diecast. Like this Psykill is pretty much 90% diecast and some plastic pieces. My only problem with these figures is due to age is they start to, like the joints start to loosen, and I'm not sure how to fix that. Like they've got screws everywhere on these figures, so I'm kind of hoping maybe I can just like tighten the screws because Psycho looks like he's like, oh, I'm sad Psycho.
That is sad.
But these lines they don't get any love, and the love they do get is very minimal. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know, man.
Honestly, I was kind of, you know, I was joking around, but there are some neat characters on the table.
Yes. There are some very, very cool figures in both of these lines. I mean,
well, now, I appreciate Rock Lords is technically a different line, but I mean, it's like Princess of Power is a different line from He-Man, you know? They're the same universe, kind of, same family, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
I don't know, man. I love, like, some of these characters, like the Rock Lords in this whole, excuse you.
Pardon me.
The Rock Lords are probably some of my favorites. I love these figures. So much so that I've been trying to hunt a bunch of them down, try to hunt their weapons down.
I know you've been trying to put Puzzler together forever.
Yeah, I finally put Puzzler together thanks to Oz. Because Oz finally got me a pocket that I needed, which is the Lamborghini. So I finally got Puzzler, and then I started to work on Monstro, which was the villainous combiner from GoBots, which actually Monstrous is, in my opinion, the cooler of the two. And if you guys want to see pictures of these, you can actually go over to toyarchive.com, and he has got pictures of almost pretty much every Rock Lord, every GoBot. Anything you could imagine is up there for your viewing pleasure. And there are some really, really cool figures out of both of these lines. Be a Monstrous has kind of become my next project. And I'm only missing three pieces from him right now. But, I mean, you can tell just by putting the head and his arm on that he's just very, you know, very unique in his design. Very unique in how he looks. He'll be about as big as Puzzler when he's all put together. My only problem with the actual monstrous figures is that the transformations aren't, well, there wasn't a lot put into them. Let's put it that way. Because they're supposed to transform into like these, almost like these space kind of creature things.
Yeah. Like something that would fight Godzilla.
Yeah, that some of them are kind of cheesy.
Like something that would fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
I love the big guy, but some of those movies.
Yeah, some of those movies are not good.
No.
some of the villains in those movies are not great.
No.
At all. You're just like, ugh. My favorite is that the one leg that I have for Monstrous transforms into like this spaceship gun thing almost. Like that's, you can see a picture again, go to toyarchive.com and look at these, and it's the blue monstrous piece that I'm talking about.
Now, does he have like an individual robot mode?
Yeah.
And does it have a head?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the little Cyclops?
Yeah, that's okay. The Cyclops.
And his, that looks cooler than the vehicle mode.
No, I agree. The monster modes on Monstrous, the actual individual monster modes, are very, very cool. The vehicle modes, not so much. They really leave a lot to the imagination to where you're like, what am I looking at? What is this? But yeah, the robot modes are kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat looking, like, little guy.
Like, the main problem is with this line is they went for Like they basically went for construction rather than play, you know. Like this, the head of Monstrous, that's his robot mode.
Yeah.
And there's like, there's nothing. It's just a big blank face thing that I don't get.
Some of these, well, I mean, it seems to depend on the figure, but some of these guys have a lot of character.
Oh, yeah.
And not every Transformer was a winner either.
That's
so
true. No, there were a lot of Transformers that were garbage. But Slimestone and Nugget, which Slimestone,
yeah, I like Slimestone.
Slimestone is the one you were like, oh, neat.
Yeah, he's cool.
And he's another one of my little favorites of this line. Again, these, you know, just something nobody gives any love to. Like, there's some fan sites out there for him. I mean, there are some pieces that people pay a lot of money for, but you know, the Rock Lords or something. If you're looking to buy GoBots and Rock Lords right now,
the thing is, you know, it's the classic. You know, if you ever saw the movie Big, you know, when he's in the pitch meeting for the skyscraper that turns into a robot.
What does it do? It turns into a robot. What's it do then?
Well, it's like, okay, so they turn into rocks,
right?
Wow, the action possibilities are endless. I mean, you know.
Well, it's kind of the same thing as the meteorbs from
Well,
Masters.
Okay, but I'm not. That's not a hill I'm going to die on either.
No.
I mean, I'm just saying. You know, look, it turns into an inanimate lump. Neato. I mean, at least say what you will about Scooter, but at least he's a scooter.
Yeah.
You know?
And Leader One is actually a jet.
Yeah. I mean, they can actually do stuff in the alternate modes. It's
right.
Like, hey, if I transform on a slope, I can roll downhill and possibly be a threat.
Well, do you remember we actually watched the GoBots Battle of the Rock Lords? Yes, for Animated World back in the day. Yes. And
did you really think I would forget any of those?
It was god awful.
Well, yeah, but I've come to accept that pretty much all of those things were awful.
True.
The only thing I haven't really gone back and revisited is Transformers.
Right.
So I'm going to hold off my judgment, but I mean, G.I. Joe is really bad.
Oh, G.I. Joe's bad.
G.I. Joe is bad, and I'm talking about the Sunbow. I haven't even started the Deke. I'm sure that was just epic level awfulness. Because I have seen one or two episodes on YouTube, and they're just awful.
Which is funny, because you own both of those
volumes. I own both of those, yeah, I know.
And I'm surprised that you haven't thrown them in to watch
it. I haven't felt quite masochistic enough. So.
Saving yourself the pain.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think after the Sunbow ones were such a disappointment, it was like, I don't know if I can do it to myself.
Well, yeah, like you said, you've seen some of the Deke ones, and
some of the Deke ones, and they're awful.
Yeah, they're not good at all.
And you know, and some of the other shows I've seen here and there, I mean, it's just they're designed for children.
And, oh, absolutely.
And they do not hold up real well for adults with any kind of critical thinking. I mean, they're bad. So, I mean, you know, to say that the Rock Lords movie was bad, it was about as bad as everything else. I mean,
yeah.
Some things were more watchable than others. I think Ghostbusters, I think, held up really well.
Ghostbusters, well, that's because of the writing staff.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the fact that there was a series that was geared, the series on Saturday morning was more kiddified, and then the syndicated series
was
where all the good story, the Cthulhu story came
exactly.
into play, and all of those really, like, you're like, oh, wow, this is a Ghostbusters show? But that's why those hold up so well. But, yeah, a lot of these old animated series, I mean, I love these.
I know.
I love Transformers, too, but, man, I love GoBots because they're just so, some of them are so weird. The alt modes, if you look, like, oh, I'm trying to think of one.
Well, I remember there was one when we were still at PCN. There was one that came into the store, the Rolls Royce, and the robot mode had a little top hat and
yes.
monocle. Oh, it was cute.
Yeah, yeah. It's I have him downstairs.
I'm sure you do.
Oh god, like Loco. Loco, look at Loco. He's just a little train, and then he's like this little train guy. There's a bunch of like. There was some really weird. If I can find them here, I'll tell you about it.
All right.
Some of the alt modes, like they start out as these, you know, as just regular looking cars, and then when they transform, they're the most clunky things that you've ever seen. You're like, oh my god, like why is that robot fat? I mean, like just the way they design the robot, you're like, wow, that's. It's a really weird looking robot mode. Like like Bad Boy, he transforms from an old old U.S. Army plane.
And yeah, look kind of like a warthog.
And his hands, he has no hands. It's just the jets on the back turn into like these cannon things that stand for his hands.
Yeah.
But I
like movie Starscream.
Yes, exactly. I just like Stinger. Look at the Stinger figure.
Yeah.
He transforms from a Corvette into a robot. But if you look, and if you guys can go to, again, go to toyarchive.com, look up Stinger in the GoBots section, and you'll see that his feet is the most oddest transformation of any GoBot ever, or any Transformer, is the way his feet transform, is that they basically tuck up, and he's standing, like, they're just weird looking.
Yeah.
God, I love them. So spectacular. It's one of those lines that nobody gives any love to. I mean, but there was so much. I mean, they made all the Super GoBots, which were the giant ones, which I have a Destroyer missing his treads, but with his gun, that, you know, big Transformer. You know, once you transformed him, it's like, oh wow, he's a big boy.
Yeah, I always thought he was weird because it just has like the turret for a head.
Yes. Which again, I agree. It's a very odd choice for you're like, oh, what? Why is...
What? I mean, it's distinctive, but it's weird.
Yes, very, very distinctive and very, very strange. I kind of wish I had the treads for him, though. That's the one thing I'm sad I don't have is his treads.
Someday you'll retread him.
Yes, I will. Someday he will be retreaded. And all will be right with the world. But the Super GoBots were really cool because this is one of those... It's one of those lines of figures, like, they made a bunch of, like, large-scale...
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at your Leader 1 going, wow, he seems puny, and I forgot that they did him on both scales.
Yes, they made a large-scale... Like, Destroyer, when he's transformed, is kind of neat. He's not great by any stretch of the means, but...
No, he's not.
No. yeah, they made a bunch of, the Super GoBots... They did the combiner teams, they did Monstrous, they did Puzzler, and then they did the power suits, which the power suits were really cool because it was just a big jet, and then four suits you could put GoBots. You could put GoBots in all five of them, but they basically connected together to form one large robot. And it's weird because the good guy's name was Grunge, or the good guy's name's Courageous, and the bad guy's name is Grungy.
Mm.
It's kind of fitting. So much GoBot stuff, man. Playsets, Dread Launchers, which they basically... were the little they were like almost combiner teams, so they two separate thing, two separate vehicles formed one robot. Boomers, which were these little I don't remember if you pulled them back or if you basically if you revved them up, they had little balls in the center of them, and once they would get a certain way, they would spring up and they'd shoot these little balls out of their chest. Secret Riders were kind of neat. Those were basically probably the best GoBots ever made, transform, all that. But they just really cool. I mean, just really cool toys. And it's a shame nobody gives this line any love. They did a bunch of models that were like transformable models. Which somebody on Twitter, one of my Twitter followers,
yeah, actually I saw that.
Found it. I think it was a Buggy Man. It was either Buggy Man or it was Turbo, and I'm pretty sure it was a Buggy Man model.
Buggy Man.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, so many. Like they made a Turbo Team. Remember the animated series Turbo Team?
Turbo
yeah,
Team.
They made a Turbo Team model that fell under the kind of didn't have the GoBots logo, but they made some big, some large scale GoBots, which actually were Robotech models.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, because look at the Psykill. It's actually a Robotech, the motorcycle and
yeah.
rider. Yeah, and then I think Leader One actually is a Robotech vehicle as well.
It's probably a. Probably a Valkyrie.
Yeah, a version of the Valkyrie.
Jesus, that thing got around.
Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah, the models were pretty cool, though. God, man. So little love given for this line. It's just kind of sad, because there's really... I mean, look at Puzzler. He is really cool when he's all put together. I mean, he's not the most stable of figures in the world, but...
Well, yeah.
You know, you're talking... 30-plus years on some of these toys, and they're starting to really show their age.
Devastator was never really solid.
No, not at all.
Even back in the day.
Yeah. But, of course, they fixed everything when they got the Monstrous, so he's actually more... He's much more solid construction when he's all put together. Very cool. What do you think, Dave?
I mean, you know, for a knockoff line, it's okay.
You son of a bitch.
Well, and, you know, I hate to say it, but the other thing is, I mean, it's you know, history is written by the victors, and...
Oh, no, Transformers killed everything. Yeah.
Transformers killed them and bought them and buried them.
Which is sad,
every because... Now, every now and then you'll see, like, is Crasher the girl?
Yes.
Yeah, they did a Transformer of her during the movie years.
Yes.
So...
And they've done a Leader One.
Have they done a Leader One?
They've done a Leader One. In the preschool line, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So in that...
Yeah. God, that's almost insult to injury right there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the GoBots basically became the preschool line because they became...
I remember that. Yeah. You're right.
So, you know, they've... They kind of... Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, GoBots. These are like the redheaded stepchildren of Transformers.
They kind of are.
Yeah, well. I love them, damn it.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I still think they're some of the most interesting concepts for a toy ever. Just in some of the designs, some of the robot
okay, modes. Yeah, I was going to say some of the designs, maybe. I mean, like, concept, you know, it's a concept that's been around. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
In fact, I bet someone who knows the history better than I do, I'm sure there were transforming robot toys in Japan even before, like, Tobots and Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Because Transformers was put together from multiple...
Super Sentai, Voltron, yeah. All that stuff, you know. Voltron, I think, was one of the first.
Hmm.
So that was one of the first, like, transforming combiner kind of things. I love GoBots, damn it.
Good for you.
I know, right?
I have a GoBot.
You have a... Who do you have?
Scooter? Scooter.
Yeah, you have a Scooter. That's right.
Of course, because he's stupid.
He's kind of silly. He's one of those toys that you were like, if you watch the show, you're
and
like...
And I actually had when I was a kid. Believe it or not, the only GoBot I had as a kid.
Really?
A Scooter. Yep. Because my figures could ride on him.
Oh, yeah. Scooter, Leader One, I still need a Turbo. But I've got... And I need a Cop-Tor. So that way I'll have all six main characters from the TV series. Because it was Leader One, Scooter, and Turbo were the main, like, three GoBots for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then it was Psykill, Crasher, and Cop-Tor were the three baddies. So, dang it. And I need parts for my good Psykill. Like, I've got the green and black Psykill, which was the reissue kind of... I've got him, but I need parts for my good one. Or kind of good one. He's got
a good one, yeah.
He's got some chrome rubbed off on him, and oh well.
He's been loved.
Yeah, he has been loved, but his handlebars are still good, so that's all that matters. Most of the time his handlebars are... Oh, God. His handlebars most of the time are broken the hell off. Mike Lacey sent me a story, and I don't know if you saw this or heard about this today.
Well, yes, I did. I told you about that before the show, but thanks for remembering.
Yeah, no problem. Deputies in Florida arrested a woman and her adult son who managed to steal $2 million in toys.
Did they steal that?
Yes. Steal it. It's interesting because the way they were doing it was is an old shoplifting trick. And I've noticed a lot of people on Twitter who brought it up, who were talking about it today, were like, how can you not notice, you know, that box doesn't contain what should actually be in it?
Well, they don't, like... I mean, I know when I buy stuff, they just scan it and, you know...
Yeah. A lot of times what happens, if they have a big item and they've emptied it... And this is what happened to me. This is a good story because I know a number of us who work
for
Toys
R Us... Well, first of all, for people who haven't read the story, you know, what they would do is they would take, like, a big, cheaper item that was in a big box...
Yes.
And, like, take that stuff out and hide it somewhere and then put more expensive items in the big box.
Yes.
Just, you know, so that people who haven't followed the story know what we're talking about.
They did this in 139 Toys R Us's in 27 states, buying nearly $7,000 worth of small ticket items to fuel their scam. The only reason they caught this guy is because he had the audacity to use his rewards card on every purchase. Authorities said Polaris trolled stores looking for inexpensive toys that came in large boxes. They then emptied out the contents, filled the large box with more expensive toys, including $150 Lego sets and Leapster pads worth $99 a piece. The pair would hide the cheap contents somewhere around the store and pay for the inexpensive large box filled with more expensive goodies. 70-year-old Margaret Polera often worked as a lookout. Authorities tracked them for 2 months, watching them allegedly steal from various stores around the state. and later shipping packages filled with toys. Michael Pereira, 46, had more than $900,000 in eBay and PayPal accounts. Jesus.
I know.
Here is how it's easy for people at Toys R Us and other stores that this takes place. Mostly it's Toys R Us's, because it's really about the only store you could do it at anymore, because everyone else has camera systems. And Toys R Us's have none, unless you're at Times Square. Basically what happens is they will get a big box that's a cheap item, and instead of lifting it up the counter, they'll lift it up and say, here, go ahead and scan this, I'll put it back in the cart. So you never touch it.
Ah.
They pulled this when I worked there and was in the R zone. This couple, brother and sister, I'm pretty sure, came through the R zone, just had a box in their cart, and they wanted to just lift it up and have me scan it. And me going, you know, at the time, I never let anybody. I would come around the counter with the scanner and lift it up myself so I knew, you know, what I was scanning. So I could, you know.
Yeah.
I came up in loss prevention. That's where I got my start in retail, because I worked for Shopko stores when they were open. When their loss prevention departments were top in the nation, I worked for them. So I knew better than to just let them lift it up. So I walked over, and he's like, no, man, no, I got it. I'm like, no, it's fine. He goes, no, I got it. I'm like, no, it's really, I'm here. It's fine. And he's like, man, just let me lift it. I'm like, okay, something's fishy.
Yeah, that's a little suspicious.
I pulled it up and went to scan it, and as I lifted it, basically it should have been a box that had a little preschool, well, medium-sized, like, rocking horse on it. And these things weigh 10 pounds, maybe, if that. When I tilted this box, it felt like it had four PlayStation 3s in it. I was like, holy sh... And I looked at the guy, and I was like... And I called... I got my walkout, and I was like, hey, come to the front... I'm like, somebody get in the front door. And these guys got scared. I lifted this box out of the car, ripped the top off, and dumped it in the middle of the floor. And it was full of Leapsters, Leap Pads, just tons and tons and tons, just tons of stuff.
Probably wasn't good for the PlayStations, but...
There were no PlayStations in there. I'm just saying that's how much it weighed. It felt like a case full of PlayStations. I dumped this stuff in a pile on the floor and looked at them and went, you two, and they took off. The one lady took off. She ran. I mean, she left this guy and just bolted. She was gone. She was going to leave this guy, let him take the fall for all of it. She was gone. And this guy was like, man, I ain't coming with you. No, you're coming with me. And we took him back in the office and called the police. He got arrested. From what I understand, they eventually went back and arrested the whole crew of them and arrested them for shoplifting, because the amount was well over $1,500 worth of merchandise. I was like, holy... And I told people there, I'm like, this is why... You do not let people lift boxes out of their cart and have you scan it. Come around the counter, take 3 seconds, push the box, scan it. If it feels like it's heavier than it should, by all means, call somebody. But it's amazing to me that they got away with this for so long. $2 million in toys.
Yeah, you know. I mean, how many employees really would bother to do that, especially nowadays?
Nobody. Nowadays, because their loss prevention department does not allow them to stop shoplifters anymore. Wow. They do not allow them to stop them, even if they've seen them take it and they've seen where they've stashed it on their persons. And these people, they follow them. They know they have the items. The LP departments will not let them stop anyone. You literally try to give them good customer service, hope to God they get scared and just drop it somewhere, or they walk out the door with it. They cannot stop you.
Good to know.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have no problem telling people this, because it's the truth. I mean, eventually, hopefully maybe this will cause Toys R Us as a corporation to go, maybe we need to have a little bit better loss prevention and actually put LP in the stores.
Well, I'm sure the concern is that someone gets hurt. You know, there's an altercation, and then Toys R Us is on the, you know, either they're on the hook for the employee getting hurt, they're on the hook for the customer getting hurt. Because I'm sure if you're a shoplifter, you're not going to be, like, above doing the old slip and fall lawsuit, you know.
Well, true, but I get that. I mean, I think It's just, even though I haven't worked there in so long, it's still frustrating to me to hear something like that happening and be like, come on. Although in our bad review that we were given on Dave and the Balls Toys and Collectibles on iTunes, I'm pretty sure the person was talking about Carrie and I's conversation about accidentally, and I say that truthfully, accidentally stealing from IKEA.
Thieves.
I know, right? But I'm sure, you know, people will be like, oh, well, you know, he says he's from shoplifting. You know, he said he brought up a shoplifting, but he stole from IKEA. Look, I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. You have stole something from somewhere. Dave?
When I was a younger kid, when I was a little kid and I got caught and had to, like, go back to the store. I had to go back to the store, return the item, and pay for it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's weird to me, and it just goes to show that, you know, Toys R Us doesn't have the best security at all. You know, not the best loss prevention, not the best security. They don't have any. Really, I mean, it's so sad for me because I worked there for, you know, well over a decade, and this is the stuff I had to deal with on a daily basis. So much so, in fact, that we actually got to know the shoplifters they would come in the door and we would go, shoplifter. And we would follow them and follow them and follow them. And they'd get pissed and throw stuff at us and scream and cuss at us and then leave. But they would just keep coming back hoping that we wouldn't be there, so they continuously steal. There was nothing in place to allow us to get the cops involved to stop them from ever coming back in. So, kind of sad, but $900,000, that is what greed gets you, people.
I don't know.
He kept going back, going back, going back. I guess their goal was that they wanted to do this in all 50 states.
Okay.
I have no idea why. And from one of the other...
a little wacky, but...
from one of the other reports, I read that he was saving up the money so they could travel around the world. I can't imagine what his eBay fees were.
I don't know. Probably pretty high.
Dear God, $900,000. They could send some of that money to me, and I'll just buy toys with it. That way it gets back in the system, you know.
Yeah.
That way the toys are, you know.
I assume that money goes to, well, I don't know. Because if he sold it on eBay, and if he sold it for like a profit, like I don't know how to put this. Because eBay, you usually don't get store prices. You get higher than store prices.
Right.
So, I mean, in theory, Toys R Us could get its money back, and then there's extra money lying around.
True. Be interesting to see if any other details come out of that situation. So, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty...
Well, I'm sure they ripped off other people, too.
Oh, God. Well, it's kind of hard these days. You can't really rip off Walmart and Target. I mean, they've got great LP teams. They've got cameras everywhere. And I know one of the LP guys at Walmart, and I know they catch people on a daily basis, and it's a very rare occasion that they don't actually catch someone shoplifting in that store. He says they catch three to four people a day.
Wow.
Shoplifting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a busy place.
It is.
Yeah. He says usually it's little kids trying to steal toys and stuff, but a lot of times they'll catch people in the changing rooms trying to steal stuff, and it's crazy. Target's the same way. They've got, you know, a lot of these major retailers nowadays actually put the money in to keep the money from going out of the store. Unfortunately, Toys R Us has never gone down that route. So, that's shitty. But, oh well. I hope they change. I'd like to see Toys R Us actually... well, I don't know, though. We talked about the bubble bursting, and kids are moving farther and farther away from toy collecting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's becoming more and more of an adult marketplace. So, eventually, Toys R Us may not even exist anymore.
I'm not surprised it's still around, but I mean, I've heard, like, there were a couple of stories about, you know, years ago, not too long ago, but like a couple of years back, that certain companies were giving Toys R Us preference just so it wouldn't die.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they'd have to be holding to Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yep.
That the companies want there to be competition.
Yes. Crazy stuff. Let's move on to some fan questions.
Okay.
Fan questions, Dave. Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
All right. We've got an audio question and a text. Well, not a text question, but a
question from the forums.
Yes, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of what I wanted to say.
I don't know.
My brain shut down. I had this image of you eating biscuits and ramen noodles, and it just shut my whole head down.
I know.
TMC1984 says, "Hey guys, got a question for the show this week. Not sure if you've covered this before. I don't think you have. But I recently got into the show The Big Bang Theory, and I was wondering your opinions on it. I dig this show. I find it humorous, and I can have a lot of fun with it. I don't take it too seriously. Whilst I'm nowhere near as nerdy as the characters portrayed in the show, I totally get most of the references and even relate to some of the traits of the characters displayed in the show. Do you think this is good for geek culture, or do you think it puts people like us in a bad light? Personally, I think it's great, as long as people just have fun with it and don't take it too seriously. I enjoy the show more so as my girlfriend digs it too, which is cool for me, as while she might not understand why I get so excited over a half-man, half-skunk guy, or even a man with an elephant for a head, she digs that I get references and we both dig the humor and have fun with it."
I know we have talked about it before. There was the episode with the transported playset.
Was it a Christmas? No. Was it a Christmas episode? No.
It wasn't a Christmas episode.
Penny got money from a commercial.
Yes, Penny got money. Penny got a residual from a commercial. Which I'm relatively sure doesn't work that way.
No. And she bought them both.
She bought them both the rarest Mego. It's not even a Mego. It's a Palatoy.
It's a Palatoy.
It's a Mego playset, but like in England, Mego is distributed by Palatoy.
Yes.
So, and not only did she find one of the rarest Grail pieces for a Mego Star Trek collector, she found two of them and could afford them.
Yes.
Because she bought them from the comic book store.
Yes.
Which is a recurring location. And I mean, that guy's not, you know, it's not like, you know, that lady that you got all those Transformers from. I mean, this is a comic book store. The guy's a geek. He's going to know what a Palatoy Mint in Box transporter set is worth.
Or rather, what two of them are worth.
Oh, well, yeah. So, we did a whole segment on an episode talking about how Dave sort of was, just couldn't get into the whole, that it was paying a lot of lip service. It was like someone found this online and said, "Oh, okay, here's a little, like, transporter playset, and we can have Mego Spock. And
yes.
We can get Nimoy to do the voice of Spock," without really understanding what it was
exactly
that they were talking about.
Because they never sold the transporter by itself in the States.
Not in the States, no. And the whole thing was, the plastic parts were made in, like, I don't know, China or Hong Kong at the time.
Yes.
And the vinyl parts of the playset were made here in the U.S., and it was put together in the U.S., and that's why Palatoy just imported the actual transporter,
right?
Because they would have had to import it
twice, right.
Basically, pay two import fees,
right?
So my point is, and I don't watch the show enough, but I mean, you just get the sense that they sort of did just enough homework to, like, you know, make the joke, but not really understand what they were talking about,
right?
I'm not big into physics, so I don't know if that's a consistent theme or not, but first of all, it's on constantly. You cannot.
Yeah, it's in syndication.
It's
so
in,
it's
like,
on
super
all
syndication.
The time, yes.
So it's always on somewhere.
Yes.
So it's very hard to avoid. I've watched episodes. I've enjoyed episodes. I'm not a huge fan of the show. I heard it once described as blackface for nerds, and I do sort of feel like, I don't know. For me, it's more like Will and Grace for nerds, where it's like, the mainstream culture is acknowledging us. Huzzah! Huzzah!
Yeah.
You know, and it's like just a little pat on the head. Aren't you nerds so cute and funny? And we're going to do one show about you. And like, oh, okay. I do like, I know you like the one guy, but I like the guy from Roseanne, who's kind of the straight man of the show.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name now.
He's
the one that has the on again off again thing with Penny.
Yes.
I like him. The other guy, Sheldon, it's weird, but it's like the closest and almost the most accurate depiction of Ospinger's that's ever been on TV.
Yes.
I mean, he would be like considered super high functioning Ospinger's.
Yes.
Cuz Ospinger's is a very sort of trendy diagnosis for nerds. Because it's basically, you're antisocial and you focus on things and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, like, I've met someone considered high-functioning Ospinger's.
Yeah.
Because I actually, talked to someone once when I heard about Asperger's, and I said, well, this kind of sounds like me, you know, doesn't like to make eye contact and shy and blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, you do not have this.
No.
This is a real thing. And it's, yeah. So I met someone who's very high functioning, and I mean, it's borderline Rain Man kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's...
So I would say that Sheldon is very, I mean, like, super high functioning Asperger.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Very much so, indeed. I mean, he's just like, you know...
But, I mean, there's something off on... I mean, they deliberately chosen to make him really, really off.
Yes. Very much so.
So it's like, laugh at the mentally handicapped guy. But he's smart, so it's even more acceptable.
True. We got an audio one from Mike Lacey. Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Hey, guys. So Masters of the Universe Classics Club Attorney is a go for 2013. And while I'm happy that we're going to continue to get these great figures, it really bothers me the way that Mattel went about making this happen. Resorting to scare tactics, and let's call it what it was, flat-out bullying of customers in their Subscribe or Die campaign was downright shameful. This time last year, Scott put the blame on the fans for 2012 being the lowest subscription total since Club Attorney's inception. Yet he stated that the line was healthy and going strong, well above the minimum number of subscriptions needed. In fact, Mr. Knightlich stated that the subs could drop by 50% and we'd still be above the minimum. So what happened over the course of the last 12 months? Repeated QC issues with the Griffin, Stinkers reversed on purpose forearms, the Wind Raider, the Albatross hanging around the neck of this line that is Digital River, the multiple delays to start the year, the whole Star Sisters debacle, and what did all of these constant missteps result in? Fans speaking with their wallets, not renewing subscriptions. I myself cut my subs in half from 4 to 2. And what did Mattel do in response? Rather than correcting the issues at hand and moving forward to do everything in their power to bring the fans back on board, they decided that the best course of action is to threaten to kill the line and tell people that it'll be their fault if it happens. Instead of getting rid of Digital River, they decide to put the blame on international fans for having Digital River in the first place. Their brilliant PR move is not to apologize and go through 2013 with the promise that the issues we saw in 2012 wouldn't happen again. They put fans over a barrel, stating that rather than having a full slate of figures in 2013, we'll only get 4 to 6 figures with no new tooling at $30 to $35 a pop. So that means, hey, you know that Ram Man we showed you at San Diego Comic-Con? You're not getting it. Masters fans ponied up and started Facebook and Twitter campaigns to save the line, which, truth be told, got on my goddamn nerves because everywhere I turned, it was MOTU this and MOTU that. So congratulations, the line is saved. Regarding the Masters of the Universe fan community, He-Man.org is such a negative place to be. I don't even go there anymore. You have your positive fans like Count Marzo, but the majority of the forum members are just the biggest collection of miserable sons of bitches I've ever seen. Fans can't have it both ways. Yay, we saved the line! Geldor won the fan vote over Illumina. Boo, Maddie sucks! I mean, don't get me wrong. I've met some tremendous people because of this line, folks like Dylan Cook, James Sawyer, Ryan Porter, Pixel Dan, Rob Bass, Sween Hollick. I had the tremendous honor and privilege to be part of the best He-Man podcast on the internet, Masters of the Universe Chronicles, with who's become to be my best friend that isn't my wife, Chris Vint. But, in large part due to the negativity of the fan base, we lost Chronicles this year. Though What the Shell and WrestleShock were born from it, and to me that's something positive. All in all, I'm happy that this line is continuing, but I can't be bothered with all of the drama. Just give me my goddamn toys.
Well,
so I was wondering if we were going to get to this.
So much for my positive outlook on life right now.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I mean the news sort of broke right after we finished recording last week that
Masters was saved, right?
Masters was saved, and it was interesting because when we started, it was like, I was getting different reports. It was like 91%, 96%.
Yes.
And by the next day, it was up to like 130%.
Yeah, it like skyrocketed overnight, which is...
And it's interesting some of the terminology that Mike used.
Well, I mean, I'll give Mike this. I mean, he, you know, rightfully so, everything he said is very truthful. I mean, it's...
Well, it's, actually, I was contacted by Maddie, the mascot from MattyCollector.com.
Okay.
He knows that I'm tight with the Masters community.
Oh, good.
And he wanted me to deliver a message to the Club Eternia subscribers in our audience.
Okay.
Particularly those that maybe waited to the last minute. So,
Why do I get the feeling this is going to turn out horrible?
Now, I know we said things, did things that we didn't mean, and we fall back into the same patterns, same routine. But your penny pinching's just as bad as mine is. You're the same as me. But when it comes to Masters, you're just as blind as. Baby, please come back. It wasn't you, baby. It was me. Maybe our relationship isn't crazy as it seems. Maybe that's what happens when a Snake Mountain meets a Castle Grayskull. All I know is I love you too much to walk away, though. Come inside. Pick up your checkbooks off the sidewalk. Don't you hear sincerity in my voice when I talk? Told you this was my fault. Look me in the eyeball. Next time I'll aim my threats at the drywall. Next time, there will be no next time. I apologize, even though I know it's lies. I'm tired of the games. I just want the cash. I know I'm a liar. If you ever try to not subscribe again, I'm a Tie-Hee man to the motherfucking bed and set this house on fire.
Maddie's straight up Eminem.
Apparently emotional battery works.
Wow, good God.
That's okay. They like the way it burns.
Bravo, David. Son of a bitch. Oh, Masters.
Marsha.
I agree, though. I mean, it's the whole... You know, like we talked about at length last week.
Yes, we did.
Unfortunately, that was...
And we'll be talking about it at length for the next 12 fucking months.
No,
Because it's... You know, it's funny, because, like, I legitimately got a couple of texts and messages from people, like, you know, kind of going, aha, you lost, you didn't get what you wanted. And I started thinking about it, like, what is the opposite of a Pyrrhic victory? Because, like, you know, reverse shoulders, cracked lenses, rotting foam,
yeah.
The Star Sisters, the Mighty Spector, I mean, Digital River. You guys have another year of dealing with all of that.
Yeah.
I lost. Woo-hoo! I mean, you know, a few more losses like that, and it's just like, wow, you won. Congratulations. Celebrate that victory.
You know, I was
that you got beaten into. Put a little makeup on that eye. Go get Maddie a sandwich.
I was talking to BC Direct this week about all of that. And he was just like, he said something that made me go, you know, it was probably the smartest thing I've heard in a long time. He goes, you know what? Once I get my Black Lion, I'm not buying anything else from Mattel. Like, not from Mattel, but from Maddie. He's like, yeah. I'm done. He's like, I can't do it anymore. He's like, it's just too much nonsense all the time for the toys. He's like, as much as I want the Watchmen stuff, he's like, there's just no way.
Yeah, no. It's like I'll pay the money to get Rorschach, which is like one of the two figures that's going to sell well.
Yes.
And the hell with it.
Yeah, exactly. Then after that, you're like, meh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mattel.
That should have been Club Infinite Earths, not its own separate thing.
Yes, I agree. They should not have tried to put, what is it, five figures?
I mean, there's like... You can milk it, but I mean, nobody's going to buy like not top figure or, you know... Moloch, the Mesmerizer figure.
Well, I'd buy a Moloch.
If he was the movie version and it was Matt Frewer, maybe.
Yes.
But it's the comic version.
Oh, fair enough.
So, you know, Hooded Justice, the figure. But nobody wants a Hooded Justice. They want the original six Watchmen characters.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, the classic Silk Spectre. I mean, but those didn't sell well for the movie, the classic Silk Spectre, the classic Night Owl.
No, none of that stuff sold really well. And you know, back when it was DC Direct, they even pushed that stuff into Toys R Us's, and no one wanted them. Yeah.
Well, I wanted them, but...
Again, there's the problem with licensing and trying to get toys into a Toys R Us for an R-rated film that you know is just going to be collector-based.
Yeah.
Our Toys R Us still has those 12-inch Rorschachs
uh-huh.
sitting on a shelf, and they're not anywhere near cheap.
Mark them down.
Yep.
Mark them down. I might buy one. Although they have the Ghostbusters. You see that? The Janine.
Yeah, they're like $12.98 now.
Yeah.
Carrie's pissed because she bought it full price for Christmas for me. And she's like, do you think we could take it back and get some more money? I'm like, no, it's too late.
No, it's a little late.
Too late. That's it for the questions. But before we wrap up,
what about our...
Oh, no, I'm getting there.
Okay. Our friend...
Oh, we've got an all-new thought. Because
I want to give a shout-out to him that he picked me up a John Blake figure from Movie Masters.
Yes, from the Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises, which I really appreciated. It was very cool.
Let's take a listen to an all-new Thoughts with A Despot Own.
Oh, geez. It's got a title.
Thundering across the stars to save the universe from the monster mind, Eidos Baron searches the toy news to tell you what's on his mind and lead his lightning lead to victory over the changing form of Saw Boss.
Hey everybody, Eidos Baron again, here to tell you what's on his mind. First thing I want to address is the DCU Club Infinite Earths and Masters of Universe seemingly overnight success of their 2013 sub-sales. This seems a little bit sketchy. I'm slowly thinking that maybe Maddie is using scare tactics to support their lines. At San Diego, they put all these figures on display. I know they were only prototypes, but why would they make them if they had no intention of putting them in production? Wasn't the DC thermometer still incredibly low the night before the sign-up option ended? I have no idea if this was to the point where they could have made a fully new tooled figure for 2014, which I think Scott was pointing at that it was Doomsday, but that's not a figure I have really any interest in. So, I don't care. On with more Maddie news, I saw the photos for the new DC Unlimited and Batman Unlimited Wave 1 figures. Don't insult us with shiny paint ops when reusing the new 52 Batman and Superman. Just give us the same paint job if you're going to re-release these figures over and over again. I just always thought the shiny paint apps were really hokey looking. I get that you want Batman and Superman on the pegs, but just save your money and release the same thing over again. Now, the one thing that stood out was, 2 days later, they posted more photos from Batman Unlimited Wave 2. Wow. This is an awesome, odd, lame bag of tricks. First off, does anybody really want an Injustice version of the Dark Detective? That game's not even at... Well, I'm assuming the game will be out by the time the figure does, but seems a waste of a figure. But what really blew me away is the Dark Knight Returns Batman. Was all that came out when I saw that thing. He uses that He-Man buck perfectly. He looks fantastic. He's the giant bat emblem and all, and he's got that big blocky face to mix with the He-Man buck. Let's just hope we can get a Joker out of that. But speaking of embarrassing reactions, I was walking through the Star Wars aisle a couple days ago and saw the most recent battle packs and noticed some of the cutbacks Hasbro's doing on its figures. Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan had their articulation points cut into their tunics. Christ, this made me want to vomit in terror. I grunted in disgust when I noticed these, and everyone kind of turned around and to know what that was all about. This is a piss-poor decision, Hasbro. If this is truly the sign of what's to come, I'll totally be out of collecting Star Wars figures for good. But maybe this is just something that will only apply to the battle packs. Who knows? Another thing that's been bothering me, I wanted to touch upon, is it sad that I can identify a toy by its package tray? I found one in an aisle because someone ripped one open and tried to steal it, and I immediately deduced that it was a Transformers. It looked like a plane, and it had those papery rope ties in it that I've noticed Hasbro uses on all of them. Sometimes I feel a little embarrassed on the inside that I know this, even though I tend to gloat about it to everyone. But, what can I say? Tis the life of a toy nerd. Oh, and this is something that's really been pissing me off. So, still at work, walk down the aisles, we got all the new Ben 10 merchandise in. I think there's a new show. And I just briefly looked through it and noticed that they upped all the quality for their Ben 10 line. They have a shit ton of new product out there, and every time I see it, it just gets me more and more frustrated with the way they handle Thundercats. I get it that it's a flagship series for you, but fuck you, Bandai. Now, it's about time that I try to wrap things up, but first off, I want to put a very special shout-out to Dave for hooking me up with a 6-inch Modern Tiger figure. I'd never imagine that I'd find him so quickly and on clearance. So, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. The last thing I wanted to touch on is a serious note, but also a good note. Everyone knows I work at Toys R Us. I work back in the R Zone. And one morning, this guy came in looking for some sort of handheld video game device. It seemed like he was looking for one of those cheap you know, handheld poker or whatever they have. So I send him back to the game section. He comes back, it's not really what I was looking for. And it turns out this guy's a bus driver. And one of the kids on his bus is less fortunate than the rest of them. And he sees that all the other kids on the bus rides are playing their video game systems, or their DSs or their PSPs. And this kid has nothing, and he feels incredibly bad that this child is left out. And he went so far as to buy him a DS and a game. Now, up in the northeast of the country, I find everyone to be snarky, rude, and very ignorant. And working retail, I tend to lose faith in humanity from time to time, or all the time. And this goes to show that there is good out there. So I really wanted to touch on that. So that's all I wanted to say this week. So now, everyone, say it with me. From Baron HQ, I bid you adieu!
There you go. Thoughts with ADAS Baron.
Indeed.
Episode 3. See, even give you the shout out for Find Him the Tiger.
Well, there you go. Appreciate it. Yeah.
That was a really touching story at the end with the bus driver.
Yeah, it was.
It is good to know that. And I feel your pain on how working retail sometimes gives you the thought that there is nothing left in humanity.
Yeah.
I get you.
I worked retail a long time ago, yeah, and I still bear the hatred.
Back in the 20s?
Something like that, yeah.
Back at the when
back
you were
keeping cool with Coolidge.
When you were a soda jerk.
You're a jerk. Actually, there's a... Have you heard about this story? There was like a picture going around online, this guy with his dog. You heard about this?
Huh.
Yeah, this guy has this dog, and the dog is getting old and has arthritis, and so he takes him out, I think, into like Michigan to like do water therapy.
Yeah,
because when he's in the water, he's buoyant and he doesn't have weight on his joints, and he's the picture is like the dog looks like a piece, and it's an older dog and has arthritis, and my last dog actually had really bad arthritis in her back.
Yeah,
and you know, and he's sitting there holding the dog, and the dog's kind of at peace, and it's a really sweet photo, and it's gotten around the internet. Well, someone has paid to have like some kind of surgery done on the dog, like this laser surgery. And then he came in for like his third round of treatments, and the vet showed him like this room full of like Cosequin and drugs and stuff that people had just been sending in from all over the country.
Really?
Yeah.
For this dog.
So, you know, every now and then, humanity will surprise you and you know, show you its good side.
That might have been Carrie. She's got a big heart, so all of that stuff maybe that's why I can't buy toys. She's sending drugs to dogs. No, it was a very touching story. I mean, you know, I'm glad to know that this bus driver saw this small child who, you know, guy's got a big heart. And
man, my bus driver screamed at us if we played our Walkman slightly too loud.
That's cool, though. That's really cool. You can hear ADAS Baron every week right here on David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. He'll be back every week with an all-new Thoughts with ADAS Baron from Baron headquarters.
From Baron headquarters.
Yes. Carrie, last night we recorded Mary to the Collection, and she's like, you just did that so you can say his name every week. And I'm like, that's not true. He does a really good job. Okay, part of it's true. I like saying his name. The other part is he does a really great job. So it's very cool to have ADAS Baron give us his thoughts every week to kind of wrap up the show, which is always a good thing. So look forward to hearing from ADAS next week. Baron. So there you go, gang. That brings us to the end of another episode. Make sure you check out our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys, at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Check out all their sales. You heard their commercial at the start of the show. They got some great deals going on for their 4th anniversary celebration, so make sure you check them out. By supporting them, you help us keep this podcast absolutely free, which is wonderful. Allows us to do it every week for you guys and give it up for free. So also, make sure you go to the forum, sign up. It's absolutely free. Again, you can join in the conversations there. You can leave questions for both shows, for both Married to the Collection and David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, as well as join in on all the great conversations going on at Toy World Order. So join the order at toyworldorder.com. Click on the forums. Absolutely free. You can follow me on Twitter, at Puppet Duvall. You can follow the website, at Toy World Order. You can follow this show, at Dave and Duvall. And Dave, he still doesn't tweet, even though he plays on Twitter.
I have a tin can with a string.
Exactly. So go to the Playhouse, ask Pee-wee to use his tin can system, and give Dave a call and give him your questions.
Internet's a fad.
Apparently. So there you go, gang. That brings us to the end. And as always, David,
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
Toy Bar's closed, peeps. Peace out.